This guy is in our family room, our living room. He's in our kitchen. He's everywhere. On Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evenings, we love him, and it's a pleasure to have him on today. It's Scott Hansen from NFL Red Zone, the host of NFL Red Zone. And Scott, thanks for your patience. Appreciate your time today.
No problem. I'm just glad that Kyrie Irving didn't preempt my appearance here on the show, Jim and Tim.
Yeah, well, we're glad too, Scott, because whenever I tell my kids that we're talking to you, they're like, Scott Hansen, the NFL Red Zone guy? That's awesome. So is this, I mean,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, everywhere you go,
you're parenting your kids well if you're raising them on NFL Red Zone.
Yeah, well, part of your appeal, Scott, I think, is the fantasy football thing, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there are people who have different considerations that watch NFL Red Zone. I think there's a handful of things. Certainly the proliferation of fantasy football in the last decade or two. The increase in legalized gambling across the country has obviously gotten more eyeballs and people wanting to see every game, not just one game. The fact that there are so many now breakout games, whether it's obviously Sunday night football or Monday night football or Thursday night football, those fan bases technically don't have a team to watch on Sunday in the early and late window. NFL Red Zone is the perfect way to watch football if your favorite team isn't playing. And then I think also the kind of the sports talk radio nature of American sports fandom. Everybody wants to have a take on who's the best quarterback in the league, which defense is the best, who's the toughest runner in the league, or whatever else it is. And if you really want to have an informed opinion when you go and talk with your friends, your family, your neighbors, and have sports arguments, you can't just watch one game. You got to watch every game. And NFL Red Zone's, of course, the way to do that.
Oh, man, it's been fantastic. We love it at our house. How much fun has it been for you over the years?
It's a thrill. I tell people if I would have gone into a different career, if I was a doctor or a lawyer or a postal worker or whatever, I'd be watching NFL Red Zone on Sundays. So the fact that I get to be in the captain's chair and sit there and take America and really our show goes international, take the football world through this thrill ride each and every Sunday for 18 weeks, I love it. I love it.
Scott, I know we have a game to talk about that's a week away, but when you are there on a week 13 Sunday, what's the toughest part for you in keeping everything organized and keeping everybody informed of what's happening and if you have, you know, six or eight games going on at once?
Yeah, you know, I try and over-prepare each week. I'm on television on Sunday for 7 straight hours, no commercials. Everybody knows that. But I put in, I've never really timed it, but hours, dozens of hours in preparation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leading up to Sunday. And when we have an average of 11 or 12 games every episode of NFL Red Zone, it can be a little bit more, a little bit less than that, but let's say 11 or 12. I'm trying to study as much as I possibly can on facts, stats, storylines, injury reports for 11 or 12 different games. And so therefore, when what we've dubbed the witching hour, you know, the fourth quarter of the early window of games, when it gets intense and you don't know which two, three, or four of those games are going to give you the fantastic finish, but you're just about guaranteed that two, three, or four of them will have some kind of a jaw-dropping conclusion to the game. I want to have all of those facts, stats, roster changes, injury updates, storylines prepared so that I can disseminate that information and do it in hopefully an entertaining way to the audience as we watch live what unfolds before our eyes.
Scott Hansen is with the NFL Red Zone. It's Jim Moore with Tim Booth in for Jason Puckett. And Scott, it is entertaining and it's sure fun. Do you remember what the first show was like and how crazy it must have been for you?
Oh, 100%. 100%, because we were endeavoring to do something that none of us had ever done in our television careers. And I say us, our excellent producers, our behind-the-scenes staff. So we're like, how is this going to work out? We tried to rehearse with some preseason weeks prior to that first show, which was September of 2009. we tried to rehearse, but the flow wasn't quite the same of preseason games relative to, 1 o'clock Eastern time with eight games kicking off at the same time in week one. So we were like, let's see how this goes. Let's just do it with energy, enthusiasm, passion, knowledge, and use our skills to put on the best show that we would want to watch if we were in the audience. But particularly what I remember about that very first on camera that I had within the first 60 seconds of the show, we showed a couple of clips from like pregame warmups. It's, Kyle Orton was debuting as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos was one of the storylines that day. Peyton Manning and the Colts were starting the season with a big division game against Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jaguars. And then Brett Favre coming out of retirement again to play what would be his final season for the Minnesota Vikings. Those were the storylines. So we did a little clip of each one of those, and then I came on camera. And I remember telling myself before we went on the show that day, I said, Scott, whatever you say, just make it clean. Don't flub a word. Don't stumble over anything. Because I thought to myself, this show is going to be a galactic success. And 20 years from now, they're going to do a retrospective of, remember when NFL Red Zone came on the air? And they'll play that first on camera of you welcoming the football world to this new channel. And if you screw it up, that's going to live forever on the internet. And so I was more nervous about that than actually executing the show itself. But thankfully, I got through the first on camera. I said, welcome to the first moments of the channel that we hope will change the way you watch football forever. And it may have seemed like hyperbole or bombast at the time, but I meant it then, and there's not a week that goes by now, 14 years later, where people tell me, Scott, it changed the way I watch football. I love it. And that's NFL players included in that as well. When they're not playing on a Sunday, I hear from a lot of them that they're watching NFL Red Zone.
Scott, in what ways do you think the channel and the show have evolved from that first broadcast to what you guys had in 2022?
Yeah, I think it's just getting more slick with our production. What we'll do, the real savvy NFL Red Zone viewers will notice, if I tell you, hey, there's two teams in the red zone, or there's three teams in the red zone simultaneously, we'll go to a double box or a triple box just to show you real quick, okay, the Niners, the Cowboys, and the Patriots are in the red zone simultaneously. And then I'll say, we're going to go back to back to back, meaning snap, result, snap, result, snap, result. Well, what we have to do sometimes, because a lot of, obviously we don't control when a team walks up to the line of scrimmage to take their snap in the red zone, we'll have to freeze the video of one of those just so we can stagger with 40 seconds, basically, is what we're working with, because let's say the Niners are the first team to take a snap in that three-team scenario. We know we got about 40 seconds to get you back to the Niners game for second down in the red zone. So we might have to pause the Patriots game or the Cowboys game just for a moment, show you that, let's say we pause the Patriots game, we show you the Niners snap live, we show you the Cowboys snap, which happens right after that, and then the Patriots snap has already happened maybe 5 seconds earlier, but we delayed it so we could see the Cowboys snap, but then we'll play you the Patriots snap and show you the result of that play and get you back to San Francisco for the Niners next snap. Now, I know that might bend your brain listening to that, but it's a process now that we have exercised those muscles, and I think we've gotten better at it through the years, where it seems seamless to the audience, and that's the way we want it. We want you watching football live or seconds after it happens so that it's fresh to you and you can experience it as a fan.
You recognize the voice, Scott Hansen of NFL Red Zone. You mentioned the gambling aspect of it, Scott. Did you foresee more and more, live betting being incorporated into your broadcast, that type of thing, or prop bets and over-unders, that type of thing? Are you going to reference more of that in the future?
Well, it's an ongoing discussion in the halls of power in the NFL, because turns out the NFL likes money, And the more money that can be made through different avenues, they're happy to receive more revenue. And I say that tongue in cheek, of course. I mean, that's no, you know, industry secret or whatever. But the issue is, it's not legal. Sports betting is not legal through all 50 states. I think as we see more legislation pass, and just about every election cycle, we see more states adopting some form of legalized sports betting. The NFL will embrace that. If it's legal in your state, okay, well, then have at it. And but it's not yet. So the NFL is still, I think, sticking their toes in, sticking their foot in, and then soon it'll be the all-in plunge. But for right now, we do a feature that people that watch NFL Red Zone know that's sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook. Occasionally, we will flash, I think, over under totals or betting lines. Different shows on NFL Network have incorporated gambling lines or prop bet numbers, but it's an ongoing process, and people on a higher pay grade than I are making those decisions. And I'm sure at some point it'll be outright. I will be literally saying, well, that field goal makes it 35-3. The game has been decided a long time ago, but that just put the game over, you know, for you people who are interested in that, you know, or whatever the case may be. But as of right now, it's kind of an ongoing developing situation.
Scott, being that you watched every game that was played in the NFL this year, do we have the two most deserving teams from what you saw playing in the Super Bowl this year?
100%, 100%. And I say that because the term that you used was deserving. You know, you could say, are they the best teams? Yeah, still probably. I mean, hey, these are the two number one seeds, right? They earned their way to get there. And I realize that, you know, some people are still a little bit, maybe make an argument about the way the Bills-Bengals game was canceled and they played one less game, and would that have affected home field, and would the Bills or even the Bengals have had a legitimate shot to get the number one seed at home field throughout the playoffs? I realize all of that. And then, of course, there's the Brock Purdy elbow injury, which completely changed the tone and the direction of the NFC title game. So you could say some what ifs, but hey, man, the Eagles are absolutely a juggernaut. I mean, Jalen Hurts lost one game this year, guys. Jalen Hurts is 16-1 as the starting quarterback. They lost a couple games in December, but that was when Gardner Minshew had to come in with the Hurts shoulder injury. And then Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and company, they went through they climbed the ladder in the AFC. The one team that really seemed to maybe have their number was the Bengals, and they just got their playoff revenge there. So 100% the most deserving teams, and I hope we get a heck of a Super Bowl.
Well, it should be, and you're going to be involved with that. Aren't you a host or something for that down there?
I have, yeah. Well, you'll see me, next time you'll see me is on opening night. So what used to be called Media Day, now it's opening night. They shifted it to prime time a few years back when both teams fly into the Super Bowl venue. So I'm heading to Arizona on Sunday. Opening night is on Monday. You'll see it on NFL Network. And yeah, I'm kind of the host that gives the fans that are live in the arena. We're doing it at the Phoenix Suns Arena, I believe, is the venue for opening night. And we'll bring out the team captains for both teams and, you know, the Vince Lombardi trophy. It's a lot of pomp and circumstance. And then, of course, the players get released to the 300, 400, 500 members of the credentialed media that will pepper them with all of the interesting questions on Monday to get storylines leading up to Super Bowl Sunday.
Scott Hansen of NFL Red Zone is with us, Jim Moore, and Tim Booth in for Jason Puckett. A few more minutes here, Scott. So you saw all these games, as Tim mentioned. You see them all. What'd you think of Geno Smith this year, and what kind of a contract you think he deserves?
Oh, yeah, those are two good questions. Well, the easier one to answer is, what did I think of him? I mean, fantastic. I think that people that have followed his career and early on, he's always had ability, but it seemed like there was something that stopped him from really reaching solid, if not very good, if not borderline great starting quarterback play. And I think he was borderline great this year. I mean, led the league in completion percentage, or was right up again up towards the leaders the whole year in passer rating. You know, some people believe in passer rating, some people don't. And led the Seahawks into the playoffs. And so the contract is interesting. Do I think he's going to get that $150 million, you know, bona fide, hey, you're the next free agent starting quarterback and you're a solid top tier starter and you're going to get this much money? No, I don't think so. But I think his best bet is to remain in Seattle. I think Seattle's best bet is to keep him as the starter, maybe draft a guy, maybe even in the first round, maybe draft a quarterback or in the day one or day two draft pick on a quarterback to groom someone and bring him along. But I don't know. I'm not as in tune as you guys would be to the numbers. He'll get something, I'm guessing, in the, you know, probably not more than 4 or 5 years, maybe a 2 or 3 year contract in the $30 million a year range, something like that. And of course, agents and general managers get funky with the numbers sometimes, with how much is signing bonus, how much is guaranteed over the first 2 years, and what the real value of the contract is. But I think you should be paid better than half of the starting quarterbacks in the league, because I think he proved this year that he is capable of that and that he is that. And he's surrounded by great skill position players. I can't wait to see Kenneth Walker as the bona fide starting running back in Seattle for a whole season. Obviously, Kenneth Walker, you know, wasn't the man through the first, whatever it was, month of the season or so. And then still two of the best wide receivers in the league, or certainly one of the best wide receiver duos. And if Noah Fant can finally click and live up to his potential, this offense could be really, really nice next year.
Hey, Scott, you've always struck me as being a really nice guy, and you confirmed as much when I saw your sign-off this year, because there's another red zone going on there, NFL Sunday Ticket, your friend and colleague, Andrew Siciliano. Your sign-off was tremendous, and I also appreciate how you just thank everyone behind the scenes, and it was an emotional sign-off for you this year, because, I mean, there's some uncertainty, it sounds like, the future of the NFL red zone.
Well, there is. I don't think on our side, but what you're referencing for the listeners who might not have noticed. So DirecTV and Sunday Ticket have done the Red Zone channel for, boy, they were on the air for 17 years, maybe even 18 years, predating NFL Red Zone. And Andrew Siciliano, the host of the Red Zone channel on DirecTV, is a friend of mine. He's a fellow Syracuse grad. And I have the utmost respect for him as a broadcaster, and he's got a big football brain, is the way I describe Andrew. And I know that it was rough over there, because Sunday Ticket, as has been widely publicized, is going away from DirecTV, and therefore their Red Zone channel is almost certainly not going to be around anymore. So NFL Red Zone, the show that I host, will be the red zone of record, I guess you could say, going forward. And that won't be a surprise to many of the audience, because the Red Zone channel on DirecTV was only seen on DirecTV, where NFL Red Zone, hosted by Scott Hansen, went everywhere else. Every cable company, every satellite company, every streaming broadcaster that had a partnership with the NFL internationally through NFL Game Pass. NFL Red Zone, our show, is the one that people have seen. So for most of the audience, it won't change. For the audience that's watched on DirecTV, welcome to NFL Red Zone. We hope to serve you excellently with every touchdown from every game on a 7-hour live, no commercial thrill ride each and every Sunday. So I thought at the end of our show and the last episode in week 18, I would just say something honoring the Red Zone channel, their producers and directors and technical staff, and my friend Andrew Siciliano, as I'm sure it was a tough sign-off for them on their last episode.
Well, Scott, you're a class act, man, and we really appreciate your time today, and we look forward to another year of NFL Red Zone with you as the host.
Can't wait for it, guys. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll see you again in September.